Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We embark on week six in the NFL. The Giants take on the Washington football team, a game you could hear right here on this radio station. And I bring in two guys that I listen to all the time, so it feels like I know them. Chris Bisignano, we've had on before, Jerry Foley. They both do a great job with the Giants Insider podcast. I don't know if this is a compliment, what I'm going to say to you guys. You may not take it as a compliment. The guys remind me of me and Joe when you're talking Giants, the way we talk Jets. So I don't know. You tell me, is that a compliment or is that like, have I offended both of you guys with that?
Well, that's a compliment in a way.
You paused.
But Evan, we're not going to evolve as human beings like the caller suggested to Joe the other day. That we're not going to do.
No, I know. Well, thank you, fellas, for coming on. I do enjoy your podcast, and I recommend people download it and check out the newspaper as well. Jerry, I want to start with you because I don't think I've talked to you before. And you deserve more airtime right now than Chris does. As we sit here right now, because I know Jet fans have basically declared this is the worst time ever to be a Jet fan. You know, kind of comparing it to 1996 with Richie Kotite. Is this the worst era of Giants football in your mind?
Well, first, thanks for having us on, and thanks for the support, Evan. Really appreciate it. And to echo your comments, I have thought of that before, that we are kind of a Giants version of you and Joe. You know, I was born in 74, started following them early 80s. So for me, it's the worst era. And we talk about it on our podcast all the time. And I asked Chris, because he's, you know, a little older, and he went through the 70s. And I said, is this as bad as what you've gone through? And he said, you know, the 49er game kind of felt like that. So it's an easy answer for me. It's 9 years of bad football wrapped around one playoff game that is remembered more for the boat trip than it was for the game itself. So easily for me, this is the worst era of Giants football.
So now you, Chris, you experienced the 70s, Chris, and I always look back at that, and we know it. See, the thing is that's easy sometimes is we know how it ended and we know how it turned. So, like, we know how things turned around for the Giants, and even with the Jets after 96, we know what happened. Kotite was gone, Bill comes in, and even though it didn't lead to a championship, there was success. So that's the one unknown that we both have with these two football teams. We don't know where it's going from here, but is this worse than the 70s?
You know what, Evan? I'm not going to go there. No, I'm not, because I've sat in those seats in the 70s, Evan, and I basically knew we had no shot of winning games. Zero. Zilch. Now, you could say, okay, Chris, well, what do you feel this year? Well, okay. Look, you know what? Like Jerry just said, at the end of that 49 game, I kind of got that feeling a little bit like, wow, this kind of reminds me of the 70s wilderness a little bit. But then it turned around, Evan, and they played that Ram game, you know, last week, we're right there, last possession again against a Cowboy team that, you know, no matter what struggles they're going through, they have more talent than us, okay? So, no, I'm not going to go there yet, okay? Now, like you said, they hired a Parcells. He turned it around. We hired a Judge now. Is he going to turn it around? Well, that's to be determined. We'll see, you know, but I'm not going to go. Look, Evan, three possessions this year, they got the ball in their hands at the end. I know you have to win games. It's not. There's no moral. Hey, that's a great victory. That's a great effort. Let's go home. We're happy. No, none of that stuff's gonna happen. You know, you have to win games in this league. But at least there was some hope at the end of these games, Evan.
Yes.
In the 70s, most of the time there was zero hope.
when you look at this quarterback, all right, he's started 17 games now in his NFL career. He's only won three of them, by the way. Mm-hmm. Are you guys confident? And this is also a different world, because, like, if it was the early 80s, even the early 90s, a year and a half into a quarterback, we'd say, you got plenty of time. But that's just not the way the world works anymore. It's not the way the cap works. I mean, you basically have this clock ticking on this quarterback that you draft. So you're going to make decisions a lot quicker than we ever did. Fair or not, that's just the reality. 17 games in, because what jumped out at me was, I thought you guys were going to win the game when Daniel Jones had the ball in his hands with a minute 50 to go. I was like, this is your chance. You know, march down the field. You got a field goal kicker that's missing nothing, by the way. Graham Gano could hit one from 60, it felt like. And it felt like, this is a win. Where do you guys stand right now with the evolution of Daniel Jones and your confidence that Daniel Jones is going to be the guy? And I'll start it off to ease confusion with you, Jerry.
Yeah, thanks. Look, you brought up a great point. Early 80s, if you think about it, Sims is drafted in 79, doesn't really start playing as the Phil Sims we know until 84. That's 6 years, right? It's sixth year he finally started playing to the way we all remember. And like you said, it's a shorter time frame. It's a shorter patience period for these quarterbacks because a lot of them come out and a lot of them play well right away. Look at Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson. To answer your question, I still don't know, and we talk about it all the time. I never once felt confident yet at the end of those three games that Jones was going to either tie or put the Giants ahead. So the jury is still out, and I have to take the rest of this year to see how he reacts to, you know, these remaining games. And if look, he's got a lot of things going against him. The line's not playing well. You can say he doesn't have the receiving weapons, and Chris puts out some film reviews of what they're doing on offense. And with Saquon out, it's kind of an unfair battle, but you have to rise above. And we have to see the rest of this season how he performs. So if I had to give you an answer right now, I think it's more looking like he's not the answer, in my opinion. And we talk about it all the time. That could change. But right now, I'm not confident that this is the guy going forward.
What do you think, Chris?
To be determined, Evan. There's still a lot. Look, the kid's got the tools to be a franchise, no question about it. But, look, the turnovers week after week and some other things he has to clean up. I mean, you're not a franchise quarterback in this league if you turn the ball over consistently. So do I think he has the tools? Yes. But you look at him, I want to see his last 11 games because, you know, right now he has to start maturing in certain areas. You know, facets of the game, and I'm not seeing it right now. Like Jerry just pointed out, it's fair points. Offensive line is not good, okay? The receiver is most of the time not getting separation. A lot of times he has to lock in on one the first read because of the offensive line. Other times he locks in because that's what he does. And we have to see improvement here down the road. And excuse me, right now, not really seeing it, Evan, and it's a concern. So let's see how the rest of the season plays out. That's the way I look at it right now.
You know what? I'm sure you guys agree with this, but no offense, you're not going to get the number one overall pick. Okay, that's not going to happen. I mean, and I say that is it's kind of half a compliment because I think the Giants are going to win games. I think you're going to win Sunday. I think you're going to win football games, and the Jets are that putrid. With all that said, though, because that's always the knee-jerk of, well, what if you get the number one overall pick? Do you take Trevor Lawrence? Here's the thing. If this team doesn't win enough games, the GM's gone. I think we'd agree with that. The GM's gone. If GM is gone and a new GM comes in, we all know what that means sometimes for the quarterback that wasn't drafted by the new GM. So whether you get the number one pick, which you're not, or you're picking third or fifth or wherever, if there's a new general manager, and at this moment, I think there's going to be. I mean, unless you guys go out and win seven or eight games, I think there's going to be. He's in real hot water, even if he does start to show progress, because I wonder if a new general manager would keep Daniel around. Well, what are you thinking, Jerry, with that?
Yeah, we say it all the time, right? Gettleman probably had to win 6 or 7 games to keep his job, and they made Josh Rosen him. The new GM may come in and say, I don't want this guy. I want to move on. And we don't think that would happen with Judge because we like the direction they're going with Judge. We believe in Joe Judge. But even that, they could come in and say, Joe Judge isn't my guy. Daniel Jones isn't my guy. I'm going to move on. I'm going to bring in my own guy. So, you bring up a great point. I think Gettleman's gone as well, and the new GM may want to bring in a new quarterback. And I don't think they'll get the first pick either. But I was going to say, wouldn't it be the most Jet thing ever that they didn't get the first pick and somehow the Giants got it. I mean, that would be, you know, it would be hilarious. But outside of that, yeah, I think the Jets will have the first pick.
And you enter that world, and this is a world I've experienced where you don't have the GM and the head coach on that same timeline.
Right. Yeah.
And that, it feels, you know, I think the Maras overall have been pretty good owners, but that feels like a bad organizational move. And that doesn't mean I would fire Joe Judge either, because, like, I felt the way I think you guys probably felt and most Giant fans felt. I loved his opening press conference. I mean, it was a winner. It had me fired up. It had me ready to, you know, go tackle somebody. Like, he said all the right things, and even now, like, I don't think he's failing at the press conference the way Pat Shurmur did at times, but it doesn't feel ideal, Chris, to be in a spot where there's a new GM, and then the coach is on a completely different timeline, and it does feel like we're headed that way.
Oh, we are definitely headed that way, especially, Evan, especially with the stalled progress of Daniel Jones, because... Hey, when you're a general manager and you draft a so-called franchise quarterback, you are now attached at the hip, okay? So when you win four games or three games where the Giants are ahead this year and your franchise quarterback has not made progress, you're gone, brother.
Yeah.
You're gone. And like Jerry just said, Evan, new general manager gets in here. He might look at, you know, they're going to keep Judge most likely. It's going to be part of, okay, well, Judge is our guy. That's part of the deal. Okay. I like Judge too. You understand what I'm saying? So Judge isn't going anywhere. Okay. The general manager is going to come in. Okay, Joe, guess what? I'm not crazy about Jones. I'm looking to move on. What do you think? Well, you know, Judge could turn around and say, well, I'm not crazy about him either. You know what I mean? So There's a lot to be determined in these last 11 games. And this could be Evan, it will be a real interesting off season because Gettleman is going to get launched. Okay. The way this team is going now. And we'll see what the new general manager brings in because, hey, there's two things, Evan. Two things I just want to quickly point out. One, He might move on from Jones, right?
Mm-hmm.
Two, a new general manager might come in and go, hey, listen, I know you got, you know, we got this Saquon Barkley and all this. He's jumping over guys and all this, but I don't value the running back position at $18 million a year. So let him play out his rookie contract. We'll see what we do with him. You understand what I'm getting at?
Oh, yeah.
So this is a whole new philosophy if a new general manager gets in here in January, next January, and it's going to be really interesting, man. It's going to be really interesting because, hey, there's a lot of general managers out there that don't value a running back position as an $18 million a year slot. You know what I mean?
So I would say it's most at this point. Right. I think it's most general managers don't value it that way.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and they're not going to feel as attached to making it work with Saquon because they didn't draft him. So it's much easier. I'm seeing it with Joe Douglas. It's easier to get rid of guys when you're like, well, I didn't bring him in.
Right.
You know, I didn't sign Le'Veon Bell. Not my problem. So it does change your loyalty to players when you come in like that.
And Gettleman's done that. I mean, how many are remaining from the resare, right? Evan Ingram, Dalvin Tomlinson, just a few. So Gettleman's done that already. So he's shown that that's what happens when a new GM comes in.
Is it, and we're talking to the guys who do a great job with the Giant Insider podcast and newspaper, Chris Bisignano, Jerry Foley. If you guys win tomorrow, and you better win, I think we'd all agree with that, they better win this freaking football game.
Yep.
Is there going to be, because I would feel this way, I got to tell you, because I don't care what my record is. If I've got a chance, I've got a chance. Like, that's why even when my basketball team's the eighth seed, it's like, hey, I'm in the playoffs. You never know. Anything can happen. You guys win on Sunday. Monday, you're going to start thinking to yourself, we got a shot in this division. Are you going to rationalize? And I don't blame you for it. The division stinks. We got the win out of the way. We got the Eagles Thursday. Why not us? You're going to think that way, Jerry?
Absolutely. And every Giant fan can say they won't, but they will. You get one win. This division is horrible. And you're, you know, if Dallas loses and you're one game behind them and you get to play them again and you play the Eagles Thursday, absolutely. This division is not good. They just got to get a win. Like, you got to start feeling these games are close and that's nice, but we talk about it all the time. And Judge is doing a good job. They're competitive other than the 49er game, but you got to start winning. And if you don't win Sunday, I don't know when they're going to get that first win. But if you get that win, you're going to start feeling good about yourselves. The fan base will, and they'll say, all right, well, if we win this game, win that game, we're back in it. Yeah, so they're going to feel like, hey, we have a shot at this horrible division. We can be 6-10, maybe 7-9. That's a stretch, but we can win this division. Absolutely.
By the way, I got to tell you, not that this is going to be enough to keep Dave Gettleman's job. How good is James Bradbury? I mean, my God, when they signed him, I didn't think he would be the lockdown corner he's been. He has been tremendous through the first 5 weeks.
He's been absolutely incredible, and Chris has reported on it all summer. He and Martinez were the crown jewels of free agency for the Giants. He's been incredible.
No doubt about it. What do you guys think? I'll ask you, Chris, first about Jason Garrett. What have you thought 5 weeks in to the play calling of the brilliant Jason Garrett?
I have not been happy with Jason Garrett at all, okay? Look, at times, Evan, he's had some good, well-designed plays that execution-wise wasn't there, okay? But I feel it's wholly using Evan Engram wrong, okay? You looked at some of the things I put on Twitter and some of these route trees they're doing, all you see is a bunch of curls at times. Three guys running curls, four guys, five guys. I haven't been happy with Garrett at all. I was happy when they signed, when they brought him aboard. I thought they, you know, were going to have a guy that, you know, that had some things with Dallas, a lot of good offenses and all that. But no, I haven't been happy with Garrett, his play calling at times and what they're doing scheme wise. Look, I just got to quickly point out something, you know, Evan Engram last year, I know he's a punching bag for Giants, a lot of Giant fans, right?
Yep.
Evan?
Yep.
But last year, when he got hurt, he was on pace for over 80 catches. Okay? Shermer, and this is in Shermer's offense, all right? That a lot of people, oh, Shermer, huh? Okay, I understand that, all right? I mean, you look what he's doing this year, and you just see him running a bunch of flats, curls. Once in a while, he'll give you a seam. He'll be maxing, you know, protecting, and all that. He's just not being used right. He's not Jason Witten, where Witten's going to drop it to his zone, do a 6-7 yard curl, and have eight catches. That's not a game. So right there, you look at that, and here's the bottom line, too. They've had one 300-yard total offense game. That was last week. One. And in today's NFL, that's horrific.
Yeah.
That's horrific. So that's been a major disappointment, Evan. There's no question about it. Major.
Yeah, I hate to compliment Pat Shermer because he was a terrible head coach. I think we'd all agree with that. And he's never going to be a head coach again, but you saw a better offense with Pat Shermer running the show. We did. We saw better Daniel Jones. We saw better Evan Engram. We saw better offense with Pat Shermer last year.
Yeah, no question about it. You know, you look, we all know Pat Shermer is not a head coach. He's proven that twice. We understand that, right? Mm. But there's two things. One, Jones progressed under Shermer last year. I know people want to destroy Shermer and all that, but hey, let's look at facts. Jones progressed on the Shermer last year, right? He had 24 touchdowns, right? The turnovers was an issue. We know that, okay? It's an issue this year with Shermer gone, right? This year he has two touchdowns, and there's all kinds of factors that play into that. We understand it. But the bottom line is he's got two touchdowns, and he hasn't looked the same. He's regressed at times during the season. So you look at it, Garrett Shermer, hey, this offense and this quarterback, more importantly, the quarterback, have regressed on the Jason Garrett. But there's 11 games left, and let's see. You know, they show some flash last week in a running game and all that. We'll see.
You can argue that Jones' progression last year actually saved Gettleman, oddly enough, where Shermer got, like as Chris would say, launched, but Gettleman stayed, and we thought he stayed because, well, you know what, the franchise quarterback progressed by the end of the year. He looked like the guy, and it saved his job.
Well, you know what's funny, and you may have disagreed with me on this. I was supportive of Gettleman keeping his job because I looked at the drafts and said, you know what? These drafts are pretty good. You know, it's not bad. As we sit here now, 5.5 weeks into the season, those drafts that I was, they don't look as good anymore. I got to be honest with you.
Right.
So those things that, at least to me, kept Gettleman there, as we sit here right now, along with the fact they're 0-5, which is the ultimate. I mean, winning is what matters the most, is that those drafts that he's had, the three drafts, they don't, and a lot of it is, you could say, well, it's not his fault. I get it. It's not his fault what happened to DeAndre Baker. It's not his fault Lorenzo Carter and Saquon Barkley got hurt. But I'm sorry, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whose fault it is. Like, if the guy doesn't become a good NFL player, it wasn't a good draft pick. Period, end of discussion. Doesn't matter how it got there. And so those drafts don't look as good anymore.
You're right. And at the end of December, we thought, well, he's going to stay because of the drafts. And I was, admittedly, I have it in writing, 51-49 of keeping him because of those drafts. But by the time the season rolls around, you know, Ryan Connolly's cut.
Right,
like you said, DeAndre Baker had that incident. Dexter Lawrence is playing well, and I'm looking at the higher draft picks, right? Slayton looks pretty good, but there's more misses, and I did an honest assessment of the 2018 draft, and it's Barkley. Will Hernandez is not playing well. Mm. Yeah, like you said, Lorenzo Carter's hurt. R.J. McIntosh hasn't done anything. B.J. Hills hasn't done anything. So that's 2018. Oh, and Kyle Auletta. Yeah, he's cut because he was speeding on the New Jersey Turnpike. So that's the 2018 draft. Then you get to 19. Connolly's gone, like I said, and they don't look that great. So that's what he's got to hang his hat on the draft, because other than this year in free agency, that's been a miss as well. So if I'm Gettleman, I'm saying, look, I built the foundation with Jones and Barkley, and I brought in Martinez and Bradbury, but it's like we said, it's more likely that he's gone by the end of this year.
I know this is a very tough question to answer, because if you asked me, my answer would be, well, it depends how we get there. Because, like, I look at the Jets last year, great, they finished the season strong. That didn't change my view on the team. It didn't make me feel better about Adam Gase. But at 0-5, what's that number, if you had to guess, of wins where you'd say, okay, that was progress, I feel good? What does that number look like that jumps into your mind? I'll go with you, Chris, first. Yep.
Okay. Well, for me, the beginning of the year was 6 or 7, but now, I mean, now you hope they get to the 4 number. You know what I mean? And you know, that's the way. I mean, now you look at the 4. You know what? 4 wins now, but even that to me is not going to be progress. I got to be honest with you, Evan. It should have been 6 or 7, and now you look at what's going on, and you know, with the way Jones really hasn't taken a step forward yet. You know, to me, that's not even that is not a good number. So I don't see any. Let's see how this plays out. But if they get the 4-5 now after an 0-5 start, I guess that would be considered progress.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you have to go 5, and the losses have to be close. So you can have Washington twice. Maybe you can win those two. Maybe you can win one in Philly for the first time in, it seems, 100 years.
Yeah.
And I don't know where the other two are going to come from. So they got to go 5, and then the losses have to be like these outside of the 49er game where, all right, we're showing progress. We lost, but it's been close. So
yeah. No, I'm with you on that. Fellas, excellent job. I advise anyone, download your podcast. You guys do a hell of a job. You got the newspaper magazine as well, the Giant Insider. Jerry Foley, Chris Bisignano, I do appreciate you coming on. Have a great weekend.
You too, man.
Thanks so much.
You too, Evan.
Take care, fellas. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.